Maryland Athletics is a proud leader in the development of opportunities for female student-athletes. Over the next month, tune into our social media accounts, hear the Turtle Podcast, and more to be inspired by the stories of generations of fierce, fearless women. For details on the Wine on the Hardwood event, or for more information about our Fearless Women initiative, visit umterps.com/fearlesswomen. It's Friday, January 24th, 2020, and Keith, we are back with another episode in our Fearless Women series, which has been a series of podcasts during our Fearless Women campaign. I'm in the athletic department right now, and we come with one of the best athletes, not just on the women's side, but in Maryland history, and that's Christy Tolliver, the former Maryland point guard, hit one of the maybe the biggest shot in Maryland athletics history. Obviously, some big shots on the men's side, but in terms of stage and timing and degree of difficulty, there's really none bigger. And then she's done incredible things in her professional career, Keith.
Yeah, now coaching with the Washington Wizards. Was interesting just to get some of her thoughts and what she's doing now there with them and her assistant coaching role. And I was just interested to ask her about wearing the Maryland jersey to Game 7 of the WNBA Finals last year, Taylor. And I don't want to mess up the quote, but her answer, because there were so many Terps that were in that series on the Connecticut Sun and the Washington Mystics, but her reasoning for wearing that to Game 7, I'll let Christy do the talking.
Yeah, we'll let Christy speak for herself on that, but got into it with a bunch of different stuff. Obviously, you talked about the coaching. Interesting, that transition while you're still playing to then become a coach and losing that sort of control that you have when you're out on the court.
She probably doesn't have a lot of free time, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think
I'm
she's
glad
working 24/7.
20 minutes of her, because I'm sure she's doing a thousand different things. She also talked about some of the groundbreaking stuff in terms of the WNBA labor agreement, which has been one of the biggest stories in sports over the past 10 days or so. So we talked to her about a bunch of different things. Let's get into it to our interview with Christy Tolliver. Here the Turtle is presented by Toyota. Toyota helps you get the most out of your drive. Just ask a friend who drives one. Shop buyatoyota.com, Toyota's official website for deals, to find the Toyota that's right for you. Toyota. Let's go places. We're back here on Hear the Turtle with one of the best basketball players in Maryland history, Christy Tolliver. Christy, thanks for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, you've had an unbelievable career, but since the start of 2018, you've kind of taken it to another level. WNBA champion, Russian National League champion, EuroLeague champion, and on top of that, you're now an assistant coach in the NBA. What has the last about 18 months been for you in a career that seems to be a whirlwind right now, doing a ton of different stuff?
I'm just having a lot of fun. I've just been in a position where I've been around a lot of great people, a lot of winning people. And that's just kind of helped my growth as a person. And obviously my career has had some great things happen for me, but, I'm just super blessed and thankful that I've been around to have been around the best in the game. And then to help lead others, in that kind of position that I've been led myself. So, these past 18 months have been crazy, full of life lessons and great experiences and really, really great people.
Specifically, that run to the WNBA championship was really fun around this area. Everyone rallied around the Mystics, and your team really brought an edge that I think the DMV sort of got behind. What was it like to lead essentially your hometown team to a WNBA championship?
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the best experiences of my life. After leaving LA, winning a championship there and deciding to come to DC because, I wanted to stretch myself in a leadership standpoint and see if I could help mold a team from going from a kind of a subpar team that was in the league to a championship caliber team and just cultivate that winning culture, to have done it in 3 years. It's pretty remarkable. And obviously the year before getting to the finals and coming up short. I think it just really showed the true character of our whole team in this city, of just how they bounced back and how they were extremely focused in the offseason and came and just played great and played tough and played motivated. And just to be a part of that, it's really fun and really special.
Christy, one of the lasting images from that series is you rolling up to the arena with the Maryland jersey on for, I think, game 7. Was that your idea? What kind of went into that decision? Was that just a spur of the moment thing? And you know, was that just the Maryland mindset, I guess, going into game 7?
Well, in our series, you know, within the Mystics organization, within the Connecticut Sun organization, there are a lot of Terps, you know, between the two teams. And, you know, I kind of wanted to walk in as the baddest one. I had my championship ring on. I had my jersey on. I just wanted to remind those guys on the other side who the real boss was. And whether I was trying to play a little Jedi Knight trick with them, I don't know. But I thought it was pretty cool.
I think that Jedi mind trick worked.
It did end up working. Yeah. Was it on the, going along with that, was it cool to have all those Maryland players in the series? That has to be kind of crazy to have people that all went to your school playing in a championship environment like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it just speaks to the university. I think it speaks to Coach B and how great of a job she's done with all the players that have come through Maryland. You know, we all got there obviously as freshmen and as talented kids, but you know, we left champions and we're continuing that legacy in the professional field. And I was just really, really excited and happy that we had all those Terp alums playing in a championship series and part of it being in the District of Columbia. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of Terps in the league right now, and they're playing at a really, really high level, and just really proud to be a part of that.
Christy, playing professional basketball is taking you all over the world. You know, what has that experience been like, just broadening your worldview, visiting all these different places? You know, how would you characterize that?
Yeah, I mean, I miss overseas. You know, I miss playing overseas and gaining all the relationships and life lessons and things that I've seen and political views. And it's just really awesome. It was a really awesome experience. You know, in the basketball field, you know, they play the game a very beautiful way. You know, I miss the way that they and we at the same time, because I also have Slovakian citizenship. So I am one of those Euros. But the way they play the game, share the ball, you know, just building those relationships with all the foreign players. It was just really, really fun traveling all over the world, you know, France, Italy, obviously playing in Russia for 7 years, was a very interesting experience. And, you know, just to see the world and to see how people live their lives and the different foods that they eat and, you know, their worldviews on things. It's something that experience I wouldn't trade for the world.
Do you remember the first time when you went to play professionally over there? And was there a moment that sort of said to you, okay, this is a little bit different than playing professional in the U.S., whether that be a cultural thing or something on the court where you're like, oh, this is going to be a different experience, but also one that really broadens me as well?
Yeah, I mean, my first year, you know, I went to Israel. And normally, you know, Israel is one of the countries that's kind of Americanized, so it's kind of one of the easier transitions. But the entire time I was over there for the, you know, 7-8 months, I was never on the time zone. I could never adjust. So,
wow.
That was a real big struggle for me. And we also practiced twice a day, almost every day, except for when we had a game. And so, I was kind of a walking zombie half the time. The basketball was intense. You know, we got up and down a lot. Fortunately for, you know, being in that situation in Israel, there wasn't a language barrier. A lot of people there speak English, so that wasn't difficult. I faced that in other countries, but I think just literally playing and living on barely any sleep and never really adjusting was extremely tough.
Chrissy, I'm fascinated by this transition you've now had to being a coach, because obviously as the point guard on the floor, you kind of have control over the pace and what's going on. And now as a coach, you kind of have to sit and watch players execute game plans you come up with. What has that transition been like where you don't have the control anymore that you have as a player and you're sort of on the sidelines trying to give tips and different things to make sure other people can execute what you would normally be doing on the court?
Yeah, that's, I mean, when people ask me, you know, what's the toughest part about coaching, you know, versus playing, that's exactly it. It's, you know, I don't have control. I'm not on the floor. That's the special part about being a player and why I'm still thankful I am a player, because you get to control whatever happens on the floor. Obviously, you know, being on the sideline, it's a little different, and you just, to me, I'm just another set of eyes for those guys. And so I tell them what I see. I have an iPad back there where I can, you know, cut up clips to show them what I see, offensively and defensively. And so it just kind of forces you to communicate in a different way. And I've always kind of led by example as a player. And so when you're on the court, you can just do those things. But this has actually been kind of a blessing for me as far as my personal growth. Just learning how to communicate in different ways and get my message across in another way.
And Chrissy, you touched on a couple of things there, but what do you think has been the most valuable lesson you've learned as a coach that you can apply to your game now?
You know, be patient. You know, I think it's difficult sometimes when you know what to do, especially when you're on the sideline, you can already see things. You can already anticipate things that are going to happen. But just staying patient within yourself and staying patient with teammates. You know, I know we got a guy in Bradley Beal who is elite. He is an all-star. He is a great human being and a phenomenal basketball player. And this season's kind of been a little up and down. We've had a lot of injuries, and he's had to play with some guys that he probably didn't think he was going to be playing with. But his patience and his understanding of a situation and playing through it and playing hard and being resilient through that, you know, I'm learning lessons for myself, you know, from behind the bench, just watching him and watching his growth and his composure and his leadership. And, you know, those are the things I'm taking away. Basketball wise, you know, I watch film all, that's what the job is. You're watching film constantly. I'm continuing to learn the game in that capacity, obviously. But when you get to watch these guys firsthand on a daily basis and kind of see how they handle themselves in certain situations, those are just, you know, mental notes I'm taking for myself as well.
Going off the court a little bit, one of the biggest stories I think in sports over the past week or so has been the labor agreement that the WNBA just came to that started to address some of the inequalities that you guys have faced as players. Obviously, that's mm-hmm. big strides that have been made. What strides do you think from there can continue to be made as the WNBA sort of continues to try to lift its profile in the overall sporting landscape?
Yeah, I mean, I think the CBA did a pretty good job of just, you know, making steps in the right direction. You know, I think and I hope that it will continue to get better and it'll continue to grow. And I think the travel, it's improved on, you know, in the CBA. I hope it improves moving forward. I would love to see, you know, charter flights. It's still kind of wild to me that, you know, if I was playing at the University of Maryland right now on the women's basketball team, we'd have a chartered flight. And as a professional basketball player at the WNBA, we don't. That still baffles me. But obviously with the pay increases and the hotel rooms and the health benefits, you know, and for the moms, you know, things are definitely going in the right direction. But I really hope that obviously the overall player experience increases, whether that's with flights, obviously pay, because it's just kind of, it's just what we deserve. You know, we work really, really hard. We work year round. And it's just the right thing to do, but I think we're on the right track. I'm very hopeful for the future, and the league's just getting better. These guys are just, every year they just get more talented and talented. And so I hope that once us old ones are long gone, they're still experiencing great basketball and feeling like a pro.
And Christy, when topics like the CBA come up, how important do you feel it is for you and your fellow players to use your platforms, you know, use your voice on social media or whatever it may be, to speak about these topics?
Yeah, it's extremely important, because it's, you know, you don't want to have the big CBA day and then for all the discussions to go away. You know, I think these are things that need to constantly be spoken about, discussed throughout the states, throughout the sports world, because you don't want to forget. And it's easy for that to happen. And so I know within our league, there are many that use our platforms for good and for awareness. And with the CBA negotiations, this will for sure be an ongoing thing that everyone will speak on, because, you know, we're not completely satisfied. We want the growth of the league to continue, and we want people to be aware and knowledgeable about what's going on.
Taking that more broadly, obviously there's been a groundswell not only in the WNBA, but you saw the U.S. women's soccer team and all the things that they did for awareness to certain issues with them and their collective bargaining, things like that. There's always been an incredible numbers in terms of youth participation in women's sports, but it seems like the groundswell for popularity at the professional level has really grown the last 2 or 3 years. How cool is that for you as someone that came into being professional at the beginning of this decade and now is sort of continuing on your career, becoming later into your career and seeing the sort of fan support and support on social media and the numbers with ratings continue to go up across the board, not just in women's basketball, but in women's sports throughout the landscape here? How cool is that for you to see that type of growth?
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. It's great that everybody is interested in loving, you know, the product that we're putting out there, whether it's U.S. soccer, you know, obviously the WNBA, tennis, golf, you know, it's just kind of showing that we're evolving as people. And that's just a really, really beautiful thing to see. You know, these women, us women, you know, we practice and we play and we're talented. And I think there's nothing more satisfying than being recognized for all the efforts that you put into your skill and your craft, and the fact that people are enjoying it, the fact that people are, you know, participating in it at a young age and sticking with it and enjoying it and learning life lessons from it. You know, that's what sport is. That's what it's about. And so obviously, as for one, you know, now entering my mid-30s, you know, it's extremely satisfying and gratifying to know that there is growth and that I was a part of that growth.
Christy, taking a look back at your time at Maryland, how did your time as a student in College Park set you up for the success that you've had now later in life?
Oh, man. Those 4 years, I learned a lot. You know, I was around, you know, some of the best people that I could have asked to have been around, you know, starting in the leadership with our coaching staff and, you know, sisters and best friends and my teammates. You know, Maryland was a blast, and it set me up obviously for the success I've had. And, you know, I knew going in when I chose Maryland that it was a right fit. I chose there because there were great people there. I chose there because I wanted to make history, and all those things happened. And I knew that was a place that was going to put me in a position to be successful, not only in school, but down the road. You know, that's what they do. They get you ready for life and whatever, you know, whatever path that is and whatever field you choose. And for me, it just really worked out. I don't know if I'm extremely lucky or if it was always a master plan, but Maryland has been extremely good to me. And my time there was unbelievable.
We have to ask you, I think one of the most replayed highlights in all of Maryland sports history is your shot against Duke. You've answered this question, I'm sure, a million times, but take us through that entire sequence and what type of feeling came over you when you realized, well, I think we might have just won the national championship.
Yeah. You know, that's obviously a play that you never forget. It's pretty imprinted in my memory. I mean, I can just walk through the whole play. I just remember the play wasn't even for me, for one. but just kind of had to improv on the fly. And, you know, the coverage just kind of changed. So I knew that I was going to end up having to go one-on-one. I knew that we needed a three, obviously. And there was a enormous 6'7" person in front of me. So I had to get the ball up. But I think we all knew once it went to overtime that, you know, we had it. And, you know, that was it, just in the game, even when we were down by so much in the first half, we all had a feeling, you know, that we were never out of it. And I think that set of confidence definitely came from Coach B. You know, she was always a believer in us, a believer in, you know, it's not over till it's over. And that kind of trickled down to every single one of us. Maybe it was because we were young and dumb. You got to remember we were freshman, sophomore, and junior. We were pretty young, so we would believe anything. But because of that belief, we knew we were always in the game. And certainly when it got to overtime, that it was our time. So it was just an unbelievable experience. It's fun now, you know, being in the NBA, going back to the Garden, going back to where it happened. You know, that will always be a special place for me.
I'm assuming that Coach B never got on you about messing up the play. I'm sure she was fine with how the improv went, huh?
Yeah, that's long forgotten.
Christy, finally, we'll get you out on this and then a little bit of rapid fire questions. But what advice would you give to a young athlete trying to make it? Where are you now? Obviously, you've had amazing success in the collegiate ranks and then professionally. What kind of advice would you give to a young athlete that looks up, that's trying to get to that type of goal?
My advice would just be enjoy the journey and be here now. You know, don't look too far into the future. Just enjoy what you're doing. You know, enjoy the grind of it, enjoy the work that you're going to have to put in. Have fun with your friends, you know, be a kid. You know, those things are maybe overlooked, but to me, that's the reason that I'm in the position that I'm in, is because I wasn't looking too far into the future. I was having fun in the moment. Obviously I had a drive and a passion, so continue that joy and passion, but just be where you are. There's no better advice to anyone that you can give, I don't think, except for be here now.
Awesome. And we'll get you out of here in a little bit of rapid fire. First, the toughest player you've ever faced in your career.
Diana Taurasi.
That one came easy. Coolest place basketball has taken you.
Ooh. Coolest place basketball has taken me. Russia.
It's not a bad one. Your sports hero growing up.
Michael Jordan.
Player toughest to game plan against as a coach.
The Splash Brothers.
Yeah. When you can shoot from 40 feet or whatever, it's tough to stretch the defense out. And then finally, we ask this to everybody, your favorite place to eat in College Park.
Ooh, bagel place.
Ah, and there it is. What is your order?
Oh, that's it all depends on the night before.
Okay, there you go. And there it is. Very well said. Yes, Very well said. We've heard great things about the pizza bagel from Molly Dresco, who played for Maryland Women's Soccer. We had her on last week. Have you had the pizza bagel?
I have had the pizza bagel.
There it is. So, Keith, we have to try this.
I think we might
bagel.
Have to try this today. Yeah, we got to get out there.
Christy Tolliver, thank you so much for taking some of the time. One of Maryland's all-time greats, one of the WNBA's greats right now, and an up-and-coming coach. We'll continue to follow the Wizards. Big win last night. Congrats on that against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And we continue to watch you guys throughout the season. Thanks for taking some time for us.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Christy.
As the University of Maryland celebrates the start of another athletic season, Maryland Athletics is excited to announce the launch of Terps 10,000, our campaign for a goal of 10,000 Terrapin Club members. Individuals who join the Terrapin Club during the campaign and become new members will receive a Maryland Terrapin Club branded flag to proudly fly at your home, office, or tailgate. All current members are eligible to receive a flag by donating an additional $55 to the Terrapin Club. Plant your flag at terps10k.com.
back here on Hear the Turtle. And Keith,
we're going to Bagel Place today.
Yeah, we're going to Bagel Place. I mean, this Bagel Place thing is getting ridiculous. First,
let's get after
Molly
it.
Molly Driska, now Christy Tolliver, pizza bagels. So we now have to go get bagels. She bossed the rest of the Terps. I mean, that was her thing right there. On the other side, Alyssa Thomas and Brianna Jones were playing for the Connecticut Sun. Obviously, for the Mystics, you had Tiana Hawkins and Chatori Walker-Kimbrough.
And she had to show them who the real boss was.
I mean, that is incredible. You want to talk about next level stuff?
Hopefully, we get that on a quote graphic.
I would hope so. I would hope so. If I know how to do my job at all, I hope that goes out at some point. But yeah, fantastic stuff from Christy. And Keith, you said it right after we jumped off with her. Just so cool, calm, and cerebral. Like, you can tell why she's going to be a fantastic coach. Already is. I mean, you see, Brenda Freeze has had some great quotes out there about Mike Tebow, the coach of the Washington Mystics. Some great quotes about her in terms of her potential to be potentially a head coach. And when you're coaching at the NBA level, there's really not better place to do it. So she's doing a fantastic job. A great interview with her. Keith, I think these interviews for the Fearless Women series have been fantastic. I mean, we don't want to toot our own horns. We're just along for the ride, but our guests have given us some fantastic stuff.
Yeah, and hopefully we keep them kind of continuing along as we build up to Women in Sports Day, National Women's in Sports Day, which will be coming in February.
Absolutely. So make sure to go back to listen to our other Fearless Women podcast, the first one with Taylor Cummings and Chloe Pavlik, which they gave both sensational stuff to young professionals in the sports game. Then we had Bonnie Bernstein and Molly Drescon. Bonnie, you know, all TV, does a ton of stuff. Former Maryland gymnast, and in a great interview with Molly, does PR for MLS, also played a little professional women's soccer, played for Terps women's soccer, now with Christy Tolliver, and we'll have more next week, as you said, Keith, as we build to National Women in Sports Day. A fantastic campaign so far. Continue to check out Maryland's social media channels for the continued content that goes along with the Fearless Women campaign. That's enough for this week's edition of Hear the Turtle. We will continue to get you all the different guests as we move through the winter season. Obviously, men's and women's basketball, both top 20 teams trying to move towards March Madness, and we'll give you all the particulars and people's interested in that as we move forward. Make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels at Hear the Turtle on Twitter, at Hear the Turtle on Instagram, Sned 311 for Keith, Taylor Smite 10 for me, and we'll see you next week.
Go Terps!